The Big Bang, Black Holes, and the Evolution of the Universe. In Friedman's first model of the universe, the fourth dimension, time, like space, is finite in extent. It is like a line with two ends, or boundaries. So time has an end, and it also has a beginning. In fact, all solutions to Einstein's equations in which the universe has the amount of matter we observe share one very important feature. At some time in the past, about 13.7 billion years ago, the distance between neighboring galaxies must have been zero. In other words, the entire universe was squashed into a single point with zero size, like a sphere of radius zero. At that time, the density of the universe and the curvature of space-time would have been infinite. It is the time that we call the Big Bang. All our theories of cosmology are formulated on the assumption that space-time is smooth and nearly flat. That means that all our theories break down at the Big Bang. A space-time with infinite curvature can hardly be called nearly flat. Thus, even if there were events before the Big Bang, we could not use them to determine what would happen afterward, because predictability would have broken down at the Big Bang. Correspondingly, if, as is the case, we know only what has happened since the Big Bang, we cannot determine what happened beforehand. As far as we are concerned, events before the Big Bang can have no consequences, and so should not form a part of the scientific model of the universe. We should therefore cut them out of the model and say that the Big Bang was the beginning of time. This means that questions such as who set up the conditions for the Big Bang are not questions that science addresses. Another infinity that arises if the universe has zero size is in temperature. At the Big Bang itself, the universe is thought to have been infinitely hot. As the universe expanded, the temperature of the radiation decreased. Since temperature is simply a measure of the average energy or speed of particles, this cooling of the universe would have a major effect on the matter in it. At very high temperatures, particles would be moving around so fast that they could escape any attraction toward each other resulting from nuclear or electromagnetic forces. But as they cooled off, we would expect particles that attract each other to start to clump together. Even the types of particles that exist in the universe depend on the temperature, and hence on the age of the universe. Aristotle did not believe that matter was made of particles. He believed that matter was continuous. That is, according to him, a piece of matter could be divided into smaller and smaller bits without any limit. There could never be a grain of matter that could not be divided further. A few Greeks, however, such as Democritus, held that matter was inherently grainy and that everything was made up of large numbers of various different kinds of atoms. The word atom means indivisible in Greek. We now know that this is true, at least in our environment and in the present state of the universe. But the atoms of our universe did not always exist. They are not indivisible, and they represent only a small fraction of the types of particles in the universe. Atoms are made of smaller particles, electrons, protons, and neutrons. The protons and neutrons themselves are made of yet smaller particles called quarks. In addition, corresponding to each of these subatomic particles, there exists an antiparticle. Antiparticles have the same mass as their sibling particles, but are opposite in their charge and other attributes. For instance, the antiparticle for an electron called a positron has a positive charge, the opposite of the charge of the electron. There could be whole anti-worlds and anti-people made out of antiparticles. However, when an antiparticle and particle meet, they annihilate each other. So if you meet your anti-self, don't shake hands, you would both vanish in a great flash of light.